access the Word of God, you're welcome to use that here. All right, how many of you have ever served on a jury or attended a trial? A lot of people. Okay. I have not, but I have watched every episode of Matlock and Perry Mason. So I feel like I'm somewhat of a legal expert because of that. And teenagers are like, Perry who? Matlock who? It's good stuff. You should watch it. In a trial, the attorneys for both sides, they make opening statements and closing arguments. Right? Everything that's said in a trial is very intentional. It's thought about. They go over it, rehearse it. Nothing is off the cuff. It's very sequential and intentional. Right? Well, Paul's letter to the church in Rome is very much like that. It's very intentional. Nothing is really said off the cuff of... That didn't come out right. Nothing is said off the cuff. It's said logically and intentionally, purposefully. Right? So Paul starts out by identifying his purpose in life. And his purpose is what? We've been in Romans for 5 weeks. I hope somebody knows what his purpose is. To spread the gospel. Did you say that? Preacher's wife got it right. It's the gospel. Paul's purpose in life is the gospel, right? He says he's a servant of Jesus. He is called as an apostle, and he is set apart for the gospel. Then Paul tells them he's not ashamed of the gospel, right? Because it's the power of God for what? Somebody said it. Salvation. All right. It's okay to participate in church. Y'all can talk, I promise. Through the gospel of Jesus, every person can be saved, right? Saved from what? Well, next, Paul makes it very clear that every single person is guilty in sin. And that sin brings out God's wrath. And you remember there was a couple of chapters there where Paul really focused in on the wrath of God. Something we don't talk about a lot in church, but some people won't go there. Paul goes there, right? God does have wrath against sin. All right. God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates sin. God loves people. That's why he makes a way for salvation, so people can escape his wrath, right? God doesn't force people to accept him. He lets people either accept or reject him. So then Paul moves from there. See, this is orderly. It's logical. He's building a case, right? Next, Paul explains that we can be saved through faith, and faith alone is what we talked about last week. There's no other way. There's no alternate route you can take, right? Salvation by faith alone. Just like an attorney, Paul is very carefully laying out his case to the church in Rome and to everybody since then who would read this letter to the Romans. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So that leads us to where we're at today in chapter 5. In the first 5 verses of Romans chapter 5, we're going to see 5 benefits of believing. That's the title of the sermon today, Benefits of Believing, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. When we believe that God is who he tells us he is in the Bible, and when we believe that the only way to be saved is by believing in Jesus as Savior and Lord, we benefit from that belief in many, many ways. But I want us to see 5 benefits that come directly from Romans chapter 5. Now, I came across something funny this week. It don't have a thing in the world to do with believing or with Romans chapter 5. But I liked it, so I'm going to tell it anyway. All right, it goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a woman married to an annoying man. Don't raise your hand if you can relate. He would complain about everything, right? And he made life miserable for his wife. So one day, they had a creek close to the house. He went down to the creek, and he took his mule with him. The man complained so much that the poor mule got so annoyed at him that it just lost it and it kicked the man to death. Kicked him till he died. Right? So at the funeral, the minister that was going to perform the service, he's watching the wife and she's receiving people that are offering condolences and words of encouragement. And he noticed that when all the men would walk up, the wife would smile and shake her head yes. And when the women would walk up, she'd smile and shake her head no. And he's thinking, what in the world? You know, yes and no. What's up with that? So when he got the opportunity, the minister asked the woman, why are you shaking your head yes to the men and no to the women? And so she looks at the preacher and she said, well, all the men would come up and say how sorry they felt for me. And I'd shake my head yes, thank you, I'll be all right. And when the women would walk up, they were all asking if the mule was for sale. And I'd smile and say, no, absolutely not. I told y'all it didn't have nothing to do with her own style. Some of them I tell are funny, some of them not so much. Hope you like that one. All right, let's stop and have a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can. We thank you again that we're in your house, Lord, and we love to lift our voice and praise you. Lord, we love to laugh. We love to fellowship, God, but we also, we are looking forward to what you're going to speak to us through your word. We are anticipating you revealing more of yourself through your holy word, and I pray that you would do that now, Lord. I pray that you would only allow me to speak that which glorifies you, God. Shut my mouth if I even begin to say something that doesn't come from you, Father. I pray that you would receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and that your will would be done in this service and in our lives, Lord. We love you and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So, first we're going to read all five verses and then I'm going to stop and go through them individually and share these benefits of believing. All right, so Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Lord, we thank you for your word. All right, so five benefits of believing. The first benefit of believing, number one, is this: peace with God. That's the first benefit, peace with God. So let's back up and go through verse number one again and kind of zero in on peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, that ties it in with everything that came before it, everything we've studied through the first four chapters. He has reached that point and he says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous, that's justification, that's salvation. Since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need peace with God? Because by nature we are all sinners, right? We're all rebels. And God's wrath stands against sin. God's nature is pure and holy and just, and he cannot overlook sin. Justice demands punishment. We wouldn't call it justice if a judge let a guilty person go free, would we? We'd call that an injustice, right? And unfortunately, we live in a world that is cursed with sin, and so injustices like that happen quite a bit. But it doesn't happen with God, right? Because he is 100% just and holy. Those who have been declared righteous don't have to fear God's wrath because Jesus Christ has made peace between them and God by his death. So this peace with God is not like the peace you feel when everything's going right and you're in your happy place, and it's not a feeling of tranquility that we experience sometimes. Peace with God is not. Peace with God means we're in right standing with God Almighty, and that His wrath, which our sin deserves, His wrath against our sin is turned away because of our good works? No. Because of the blood of Jesus. That's what turns away the wrath of God. That's why it's faith alone that can save us. Nothing we can do on our own. We're guilty in sin. The blood of Jesus covers us and turns away the wrath of God. So I want us to make sure that we understand the difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Anybody ever heard about the peace of God? Yeah. I've heard it explained like this. Peace with God is like a stone or a mountain, right? And the peace of God is more like the ocean. So think about a stone. It's solid. For the most part, it stays the same, right? Circumstances don't often change a rock, right? Maybe an explosion or something extreme would change a stone, but most ordinary circumstances don't change it, right? This is like peace with God because salvation establishes the relationship between God and the believer. When we have peace with God, we are saved. That's solid. We don't move in and out of that depending on whether we've done enough good things that day or not, right? If we're saved, we're saved, and that doesn't change. The connection is rooted in Christ and therefore is constant. Sort of like a child's relationship with his parents, right? Even when the child is misbehaving, the relationship between parent and child is the same, right? You don't stop being the child because you're misbehaving. The parent still loves you, right? It's the same way with God. That's how peace with God works. Once we're saved, we don't have to worry about God turning His back on us or changing His mind about us, because He doesn't do that. A little later on in Romans, Paul really emphasizes this truth, and we'll talk more about the security, the assurance of our salvation as we continue through Romans in the next couple of weeks. Now, so that was the peace with God, the stone or the mountain. Now think about the ocean in comparison to the stone, right? The ocean can be mostly calm one moment, and then within hours, sometimes within minutes, right, it can drastically change, and all of a sudden the waves are violent, the wind is howling, right? Life circumstances can affect us the same way. One moment seems like everything's going good. The next thing you know, you feel like your world's turned upside down, right? And when things feel that way, we tend to worry and feel anxious, right? Suddenly, we don't feel the peace of God like we have in the past. And this is important. I want us to get this. God doesn't change, but our feelings and our circumstances change. And when they do, we've got to fall back on the truth of God's word. God wants us to experience His peace all the time, but in order to do that, our eyes have to stay fixed on Him. Think about in the Gospels when Peter saw Jesus walking across the water, right? He stepped out of the boat in faith, and he started walking on water too. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started looking at his circumstances, he started looking at the waves and looking at the wind blowing, he began to sink, right? So instantly, the peace of God was gone for Peter, right? That happens to us sometimes too. When it does, we've got to remember what God tells us in His Word. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This won't be on the screen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." See, when we bring our pains and our worries and our fears to the Lord, He gives us the peace of God, right? But when we come to know Him and receive Him as Savior, He gives us peace with God, and that never changes. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for that, church?
Amen.
Amen. All right, the second benefit of believing is this. Number two, God's grace. Let's look at Romans 5:2 now. Romans 5:2 says, I'm just going to read the first part of the verse this time. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. This grace in which we stand. This benefit's very similar to the first one, right? In that it is permanent. That's what Paul means when he writes about the grace in which we stand. It's permanent. In my studies this week, I found an explanation of this verse, and I think it's helpful for us. The guy's name is David Guzik. I quote him from time to time, just a pastor out in California. And he puts it like this. He says, grace is God's undeserved favor towards us. And grace is not only the way salvation comes to us, it is also a description of our present standing before God. So it's not only the beginning principle of the Christian life, like we receive grace when we become Christians, it's also the continuing daily principle of the Christian life. See, many Christians begin in grace, but then they think that they're supposed to live the rest of their lives by dealing with God through the law, through doing enough of the good things against doing the bad things, right? But that's not what God's word tells us. Our standing is in God's grace. His grace, for me, it covers my past, it covers my present, and it covers my future, right? And if you're a born-again believer, then God's grace covers your past, present, and future. So you don't have to walk in fear every day, have I kept the rules good enough for God to love me? Right? His grace covers you, past, present, and future. All right. Moving on. The third blessing of believing is this. Number three, hope for eternity. Right? This is a truth that we talk about every single week. So I'm not going to camp out here very long. But let's look at verse 2 again now. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And I'm going to start with the second half. It says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Other translations say we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Studies have shown over and over again that one of the greatest fears that people have is the fear of death. That's one of the first things that gets listed when they do surveys and say, hey, what are you most afraid of? Death is listed all the time, right? What's going to happen when we die? That can be scary to think about, right? If you don't know Jesus. Sometimes it's scary even when you do know Jesus, but if we concentrate on his word and what the word tells us about death and about life after death, then it's not so scary, right? If you haven't accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, then the afterlife can be a scary thing. But once a person is justified, declared righteous by the blood of Jesus, then they don't have to fear death anymore, and they don't have to wonder what it'll be like. There's many things about dying and about heaven that we don't understand now, but God has revealed some things to us through his word. Like, for instance, God has revealed to us that the believer is absent from the body, present with the Lord. So you want to know what happens when you die, when you're a believer? Absent from the body, absent from this world, present with the Lord. That's good news. That's comforting, right? What else does God's word tell us? God's word also tells us that in heaven, sin and dying and weeping and pain will be no more. They will not exist there. So when I wonder what's life going to be like after I die, no more pain, no more crying, no more losing loved ones and saying goodbye, right? No more death, no more sin. That's what waits for us in heaven. So while we don't know everything about dying, we do know enough to know that good things are in store for those who believe in Jesus. So Paul writes here in verse 2 that we boast, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the word boast doesn't mean bragging like it's commonly used today. Instead, Paul means that we're proud of what God has done for us. We're excited about it, right? We're excited about what is to come. So let me ask you this morning, are you excited about heaven? Amen. When you think about heaven, do you get excited about what that's going to be like? We get excited about all kinds of things in life, right? As believers in Christ, let's make sure that we're excited about God and excited about the hope for eternity that we have in Him. Amen? All right, number four, the fourth blessing of believing is this: hope for the present. We've got hope for eternity, but we've also got hope for the present. All of our hope is not reserved for the future, right? We have hope in every moment that we live. Let's look at Romans 5, 3, and 4 now. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. So Paul first wrote that we boast in the glory of God. That's pretty easy to understand. That makes sense, right? But then he follows that up by saying that we rejoice, we boast in our afflictions. That one's not as easy to understand, right? I know I'm supposed to get fired up about heaven, but you're telling me I'm supposed to get fired up about all the bad things that happen in life, all the storms of life? That's what the word says. Afflictions are a part of life, right? Paul doesn't mean that we're supposed to be excited about the pain that comes from afflictions, through pain and suffering that we experience in life. He's not saying be excited about the pain, but what he's getting at is that the end result of these afflictions will be something positive. God's going to use something bad and use it for His good. God will use these troubles that we experience. We all experience them in life. He uses those troubles to build us up, to draw us close to Him. So you see the process laid out in the verse, right? Affliction, troubles in life, leads to endurance. Endurance, that's the ability to keep on pressing forward in spite of affliction. It's the ability to push through and keep living for the Lord in spite of whatever you might be going through, right? Well, endurance then leads to proven character. I heard a pastor say one time that he wished that this whole thing worked differently, right? He wished that God would just sprinkle some endurance and character and hope on him in his sleep, and that he'd wake up and have more of that stuff, right? He kind of wished that it didn't come through affliction, and to be honest with you, that would get my vote as well, right? But God knows so much better than we do, and He knows that the best way for us to grow closer to Him is through the affliction that we face in life, through the storms that we face. He uses those things to help us mature in the faith. So I learned something this week that has to do with this principle of rejoicing in afflictions and the good that can come from that. Anybody here ever been to Enterprise, Alabama? Anybody? Several. Okay. In Enterprise, in the town square, they have a statue. Has anybody seen the statue in Enterprise? A few? Okay. It's an interesting statue, to say the least. Does anybody know what the statue is of? A boll weevil, absolutely. I'm going to show the statue in just a second. I think first we're going to have a picture of a boll weevil in case you don't know what a boll weevil is. So the statue is a woman, and she's holding up a boll weevil. The boll weevil is one of the most destructive pests that has ever lived in the history of our country. They like to nest in cotton plants. And then they have babies, and then those babies eat up the cotton and destroy the plant. So a little over 100 years ago, cotton crops were a huge source of income for our country, and especially for the southeastern United States. But they were being devastated by that little bitty boll weevil that's not any bigger than my fingernail on my pinky. I mean, it's tiny, but it was destroying people's lives, all of their income. Okay. eventually a man in Enterprise named C.W. Baston figured that he would need to come up with some other kind of crop that he could grow instead of cotton, but that it would need to be something that could specifically grow in the conditions of our soil that's so good for cotton. So what else would grow where cotton grows? It took something very specific. It was peanuts, right? He began to grow peanuts instead of cotton, and in 1916, he made enough money off of peanuts to pay off the prior year's debt because of the boll weevil, and he still had some left over. So by 1919, right when the boll weevil was reaching its peak of devastation elsewhere, Coffee County was the largest producer of peanuts in the country. So a local merchant in 1919 had this statue made. Y'all go ahead and put the statue up. He had this statue made to show the area's gratitude for the prosperity that came about because they were forced to try something different because of the boll weevil, right? So that's kind of like the full thing. We got another picture of it. Yeah, see? Ugly little thing on the top of there, ain't it? But they're proud of that. They're proud of that moment in time when something bad caused them to embrace change, and then something better came out of something bad, right? I think there's a plaque that hangs in front of it too. We got a picture of that, yeah. In profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama, December 11th, 1919. Now, when they first figured out that these pests were destroying their cotton crops, the first thing they thought of was not, let's put up a statue of a boll weevil, was it? No, they were panicking. They were trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to feed my family because I don't have any cotton to sell, right? But eventually they figured out that God's still in control. God took care of them, got them through it. And so eventually they didn't want to forget that. And so they put up this monument. Right? And it takes wisdom and maturity to be able to look at the toughest of times in our lives and recognize that they forced us to grow and become who God wants us to be. So, I don't know what you're going through right now. And whatever you're facing, don't forget that God is at work and He will use whatever you're going through to help you grow closer to Him. All right. Number five, this is the last one. The final blessing of believing that we find here in Romans chapter 5 is this: the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's look now at verse 5 again. It says, this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The hope that we have in God will not disappoint us. Worldly hope, that's far from certain, right? It comes and it goes, but the hope that comes from God is certain, and it will not disappoint us. When a person gets saved, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read from John 14. This won't be on the screen, but you can just make a note of it. John 14, verses 15 through 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you do know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. So Romans 5:5 tells us that God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift the Spirit of God is to the believer. The Spirit does so many things. It convicts us of sin so that we know when we're in dangerous territory, right? We're saved, but we're not free from sin, right? We still struggle with sin. We have to fight against sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us and lets us know, hey, you're getting into something you don't need to be into. The Holy Spirit lets us know that. The Spirit gives us discernment, right? So we can know the difference between right and wrong. The Spirit illuminates our minds and helps us to understand God's Word. The Spirit works in us and through us to produce spiritual fruit in our lives. So, I want you to know today that God loves you. Maybe somebody here today just needs to hear that if you didn't hear anything else. God loves you. The God that made the whole universe loves you specifically. That's pretty awesome to think about. And that same God loves everyone. And He has provided a way of salvation for whosoever shall believe. So when we get saved, we receive all kinds of spiritual benefits. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is just one of those, but what a blessing the Spirit is. No matter what you're going through, you can count on the Holy Spirit to comfort you and guide you as you walk down that difficult road. So when a person trusts in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, they receive peace with God, grace in which to stand, hope for eternity, hope for the present, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So at some point today, right now, later on today, take some time to thank God for His many blessings. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Word, God. We thank You that there are so many benefits to believing in You, to trusting through faith.